But overcome it and come on. Thank God, and you did. But you know, that's wonderful. Best day of the week, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. And not that I don't mind work, but that gives us a day. That's one day we never had to work on. That he wouldn't make you work on Sunday. You could rest or play, but you'd go into church. That was good. Brother Billy is with us this morning, which is almost every Sunday if you're not preaching summers. And I want to tell you, he's been always a blessing. I think some of his family may be sick this morning. They couldn't come. I know it wasn't because he's going to preach. I appreciate Brother Billy. I really do. I've been knowing him a long time, because I know his wife even longer than have him, since she's probably been here almost. And of course, it's his dad-in-law. He used to help me preach on the streets. But I appreciate Brother Billy. Pastor, how long, Brother Billy, did you pastor up at Georgiana?
16
years. And that's a blessing. And he, believe it or not, I went up our best just about every year, didn't Brother Billy get me to come? Preached a few nights for him, and I always enjoyed it. I can tell you how far it is from our house up there. It's 105 miles. And I had a chauffeur that chauffeured me a lot of times. If we had to come back at night, we'd drive back and go back the next night. But they had a trailer up there. I want to thank you, Brother Billy, for the opportunity. They had a trailer there in the churchyard. And sometimes that'd be a chance we could slip off 2 or 3 days. And some of them ladies, like Carol, they like to shop, and they'd slip off somewhere or another, and I'd just stay around the trailer and study and pray. So that'd give me a break. But it was a blessing. I want to thank God for the opportunities I had. And I remember y'all used to have y'all services on summertime, but a lot of times it was always on first Sunday in August. Because we'd go to the Stevenson Union, and we left there a lot of time, went straight up there, started preaching that night. You know, I want to thank God, Brother Billy, for the opportunity to be in with y'all those years. And we do thank God that you've been with us these last few years, and what a blessing. And Brother Billy's one of them that helped while I was in the hospital, in the nursing home. You know how much I worried when I was in there? Zero. You know the Lord had to give me some grace, because I'm not used to being shut up, not being still either. But you know, I had a peace that passeth all understanding, and I want to thank God for it. Had one when they was telling me it looked like there was no hope. And I had one when they said, "You're going to be in a wheelchair." I still had peace in my heart. Knew he was still on the throne. He still is. He never left. You know what I've been thinking? You know they're changing all these laws across this land, and we need to get a hold of this. And they're going contrary to the laws of God. But they're not going to whoop to heaven and say, "Lord, change your law. We don't like that." It's he's going to stay the same. And judgment's coming. Mark her down. Not that I want it to, but it's coming. His laws still stand. You know, like we're not living under the old law, like people calls it. We're under grace. But the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And Jesus didn't come. Guess what? He didn't come to destroy the law, did he? Guess what he did? Fulfilled it. You know why he fulfilled it? Because you and I couldn't. We couldn't. He didn't destroy it. But thank God when we come to Christ. In him. You see how imperfect I am? But in him, you know what I am? Perfect. See how incomplete I am? I'm going to hush, Brother Billy. You coming? You know what? You see how incomplete we are? But in him we what? Complete. You see how unacceptable we are in ourselves? But guess what? We accepted in where?
The blood.
And what did God do? He gave his only beloved son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting
life. I don't have a way to get there. It's already started.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And when this old body lays down, it's going to
live on.
Yes.
Forever. Come on, Brother Billy, preach to
him. Yes. I'm just exhorting a little bit.
Good to be in his house.
Amen.
Brother Ike always come up and shared, and he was a staple. We had Jubilee twice a year. Saturday night Jubilee had three preachers each that particular Saturday night. And we had some good times. We had one come by that was a little different. And Sister Carol, we'd always, she and I, Brother Ike, would be talking about the one that, I won't call his name, some of you may know him, but she had special regards for him. But we had great times at the Jubilee. And we could get three preachers through and some singing in between, and usually in 3 hours or less, sometimes less. And it was marvelous nights if you like preaching and eating and singing. And I like all three, don't you?
Amen.
Good to be in his house. Great to be with you. We thank God for each one of you. Look in James chapter 1 if you got your Bible. James 1. We're going to read and skip around a little bit. Yeah, we had a special time of year. I was thinking about it this past week. How many of you hear a calendar date and then you begin to try to think about what happened on that date? Something happened on that date, and I don't know what it is, but something happened. Well, this was the 28th of May. So I'm trying to think about what happened. Well, finally, a day or two later, it come to me. That was the day I graduated. I don't know why it stuck out to me. I guess I was so impressed I got out, it just stuck with me. And so, you know, there's been some had graduations here recently, and maybe some of you. And that's a special time. And, you know, I do remember they didn't ask me to make no speeches. You know, that was for the smarter folks. Yeah, they didn't let people like me make speeches at graduation. And so, and them nice yellow ropes. Did y'all have one of them yellow ropes? I didn't have one. And so I always wanted, Brother Gary, one of them nice yellow ropes, you know. And so I had to get my rope at the hardware. That was for honor students. And so you couldn't have a yellow rope if you didn't make the grade. But I made a few A's, Brother Danny. I made an A in PE and study hall and teacher's aid. Well, you don't think I could beat some erasers clean? Yes, sir. I made A's. I made a few A's. But I was so proud to get out, and I felt like I had passed the test. You ever feel like that? And in the gospel call, there's many things that we look back in our life and see, and we'll talk about some of these maybe. But James referred to it like this in chapter 1, verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Father, take the read of the word today and bless it, God, we pray. Speak it, Lord, to us, and God, we ask you to make it real. Apply it to our hearts, and God, apply our heart unto wisdom. We ask you now to work. If there's one lost, I pray you save them. One outside of your will, I pray you restore them. And may the hand of God rest heavy, Lord, even as it did upon us, Lord, when you saved us. And God, leave us not to our own, but draw us, Lord. Draw us by the sweet spirit of the Lord Jesus. God, continue to call and help your people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. I like what James said. James gave us a little smorgasbord right there in the first 8 verses of the gospel of God. And we'll talk about them a few minutes and look at them. But here, in this, he's saying, count it all joy when you fall into divers, that's different kinds of temptations. We don't do that. We don't count it joy when we fall into temptation. Because we either do one or two things when temptation comes. We either pass the test or we fail the test. You ever heard that before? There's no middle ground in there. I always wanted some middle ground. And I would appeal and say, I only missed one. You know, I only slept through one class or something. And so we would appeal. We would appeal and try to get some help. But truly, we either pass or fail.
Right.
And so it's diverse kinds of temptations. And in the gospel way, now watch this. The graduate, we can all relate to the graduate right now because the graduate will not look back and talk about what kind of grades they made in second grade and third. We can't remember that stuff. And so the ultimate test is did we pass?
Yeah, right.
And if we graduated, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And our focus is there and not so much on the things of how we run the race. Now watch this. In the gospel call, we are saved by the marvelous grace of God. I do not believe that saints are going to be kicking themselves in heaven about things of points of times in their life when they blew it. Do you? I don't believe that. And so we take those and we learn from those and we go forward. And so in the way of salvation, ultimately, everyone that is saved will pass the test. But along the way, we have lots of little tests that we have to take. And little things that we have to deal with. And so day by day, we have to conquer and learn to progress in the grace of God. Grow in grace. Isn't that what Peter's talking about? But grow in grace. And James is dealing with this. He said, count it all joy when these things happen. Now, I don't believe Job counted it all joy when bad things happened in his life. But James said we're to do this because the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know what it is? It's God trying to get you through from this place to that place. And the way we do that is to go through tests, trials, but patience. Let patience, verse 4, have her perfect work, her complete work, that ye may be perfect, complete, and entire. Wanting, lacking, nothing. I like that. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Right. James said, ask of God. You know what happens? We read something, we say, I don't understand that. Let him ask of God. You lack wisdom, ask.
Right.
Why? Because God giveth to all men and women, boys and girls, God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know what that means? That means God's not going to scold you for asking him for strength or help or wisdom. He upbraideth not. God does not reprove those. Could you imagine a little child going to his mama and saying, I want a soda water, and she kicks him across the kitchen soccer style? That don't happen. And God said, he does not upbraid those that ask him for wisdom.
Amen, brother.
Brother Jimmy, I can go and ask him and trust that he's going to give it to me.
Right.
He said he would.
Yes.
That's a promise. And so that verse is a promise. But let him ask how so? In faith.
Right.
I'm not wondering if he's going to give it.
No.
I believe.
Amen.
And so let him ask in faith.
Right.
Nothing. Oh, we ought to get this right here. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven the wind and tossed. And this gets down to where we want to talk about a little bit today. And maybe see some things that's happened in the past. James said the 7th verse, let not that man, woman, boy, girl, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James nailed it down right there, Brother Danny. He said, if you've got doubt in your heart, do not expect. Just don't even think it. It's what he said. We just read it. Let him not think he'll receive anything from the Lord if there's doubt in his heart. Why come? Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We talk about those that have been through tests before. And we see something of how they learn from that. Go backward. We could talk about some things Peter said, but I'd rather go back to Luke 22. Luke 22, and we're going to talk about a passage right here, which was a real test in the life of Peter. In 22:31, Jesus began to speak to Peter about some things I promise you he never forgot. And so when we look back and we say, well, ultimately, yes, I will graduate of the grace of God. Christ will finish. I see, I'm not worried. If it was up to me, I'd be worried. But it ain't up to me. Now, watch this. This is, you know, people that sit around and wonder and contemplate, are they going to be able to keep themselves saved? They have no hope. They have no peace. Why? Because if I wasn't able to save myself, I dead sure ain't able to keep myself, right? When did Lazarus get up? When Christ called. He didn't get up because his sister wanted him to. He didn't get up because the neighbors had a project and needed some help. No, he didn't get up. Matter of fact, Mary and Martha's give up on him. And they said, Lord, whatever you do, don't roll that stone away. He'd been in there 4 days, and as good as I like Lazarus, he ain't going to smell like fresh perfume. And so don't roll away the stone. And they had no hope. But when Christ called, Lazarus came. That's when we come. When Christ calls, this is why it's important that we learn to hear the voice of God. And we hear it with the inner man, not with the audible ear. We hear it with the inner man, and when Christ calls, we come. That's what a new birth is. So if Lazarus couldn't get himself up, he sure couldn't keep himself saved, could he? And so it's much like the believer. If we can't save ourselves, we can't keep ourselves. We are the work and the project of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ never started a project that he didn't finish. Has he? Never has. You got projects you ain't finished? Yeah, some of them I just throw them away. I say, I ain't never going to do that. I just throw it away. Forget about it. That's how you expunge the record. You ever wanted the record expunged? Mr. Officer, could you please take that off my record? And so that's the way you do that. You just throw it away and get it out. Christ don't do that. He does not have projects that he does not finish. And we see it in Peter's life, 22:31. Watch what happened. Jesus warned Peter of Satan's sifter. And here's what he said. Lord, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. I like this, brother. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is making intercession for me. Romans 8 said Christ makes intercession. And Romans 8 said the Spirit itself. What's it do? It maketh intercession. And why? Because of our infirmities, the Spirit prays and Christ prays. And he told Peter, I'm praying for you, Peter. Now, did that make Peter pass the test? No. But Christ knew, and Christ warned him, and Christ prayed for him right as he's graduating Peter through this trial, and he's going to bring him out on the other side. That's what happens to you and I. And so we're going to see some that passed the test and some that failed the test. We're talking about the daily test. We're not talking about whether or not Peter got in. I'm not concerned about that. No. The ultimate test, he graduated. But we're talking about the daily things in the believer's life. I'm going to tell you, Brother Ike touched on it a little bit, and the first song we sung was a little bit of a witness that we might have the right word this morning, and the song was, stand up for Jesus. That's what Peter wouldn't do, and that's what Peter didn't do. In this test, he failed, and he failed miserably. And so Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, ultimately, his faith didn't fail, did it? But it failed that day. Oh, when that little woman caught him and said, I know you. Your speech gives you away. You sound like you from Holmes County. Yeah, I can tell. I know you, Peter. You're one of them good old boys. Been hanging out with Jesus. And so he said, I know him not. I know him not. And so here he denied him and he denied him. You ever have days like that? You ever have days when you go home and in your heart you felt like you didn't stand up for Christ? Well, I think we all have those if we'll be honest. God gave us the opportunity to say something. We didn't say it. Do something. We didn't do it. And so here we find that Peter had one of those days. Jesus warned him about it. And Christ is warning us about it. And he said, kind of popped off at the Lord in 33. Look what he said. He said, said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Well, there'll be a day Peter's ready to do that, but it ain't today. And so we're talking about spiritual growth here. And Christ is warning Peter, get your guard up, son. Some bad things is coming. And he said, I'm ready to go to the cross. I'm ready to go to the death. I'm ready to go to the place where they throw those big heavy rocks. You know, Paul was acquainted with those. He said, I'm ready to go there. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, listen, Peter. Sometimes we're too hard-headed to listen to what Christ is saying. He said, I tell you, I'm going to tell you, Jesus, I like this. You know, the Word of God's full of country talk, ain't it? And, you know, country people can understand country talk. And Jesus, he said, I tell you, but it sounded like something Grandpa would say out on the back porch, sipping, you know, and so here he's getting real clear with him that the cock shall not crow this day before you deny me three times. And you know Peter ain't buying into that. He don't believe it for a minute. And he failed the test. Look over to Acts the fourth chapter. What makes the difference? We were saying this. I said Brother Ike touched on it, never got to it. There's going to be a point in time when you and I are going to make decisions in our life. We'll stand up for the Lord or we won't. And they're going to say, well, you're going to have to go along with this guy, girl deal. You're going to have to get on board or get out of business. You're going to have to get on board or get left out. You're going to have to get on board or get out of office. That kind of stuff's coming. We can see it. It's no surprise. We can see it coming full speed ahead now. And I heard a preacher say it the other day. He said, everything God puts his hand on will reproduce. It'll reproduce. Amen. It will be fruitful and multiply. Right. And listen, we got setups going on now today. They just cannot replenish the earth. I'm sorry. They can't do it. And so if it can't replenish the earth, God's not in it.
Amen.
And here we find it. Watch now. In Acts, you're waiting on him to get there. But Acts, the fourth chapter, we're talking about a brand new Peter now. Yeah. We're talking about a Peter that's failed some tests, but bless God, he's getting ready to pass one.
Yeah.
And so he talked about a patience and a faith that is much more precious than of gold. Isn't that what he said over in his first letter to the church? And so here, watch this. Beholding the man, verse 14, Acts 4:14. Beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. When God does something, I mean, he really does it.
Yeah.
This world can't deny it. They'll explain it away, but they can't deny it. And so they're backtracking. Listen, Darwin, you buying into Darwin? Darwin didn't even buy into what he believed himself. Darwin had more doubts about his theory than you and I've got. He was very unsettled on this whole thing. And if you watch this, all of these great thinkers normally, you know, they're not great thinkers at all. They just tell you they're a great thinker and you go out and say that he's a great thinker and he said it. But that person probably don't even believe it. And because when the Word of God don't back it up, then they've got no substance.
Right.
And here they said something great happened, and we cannot deny it. But then it spread no further. See, it's damage control. This is what they were doing. It's what they were doing when God raised Jesus from the dead. They were doing damage control, wasn't it? And you say, well, no, they really believed that. They didn't believe that. That's why they brought those guards in that sealed the tomb and gave them what kind of money was it? Hush money. Don't tell it. Tell it. You tell them something, but don't tell them that the angel of God, they said, I'm going to tell you, boss, the angel of God showed up. And we woke up and we didn't know what all happened, but we know God showed up and Jesus went out and the stone went away. And they said, here's some money. You hush it up and stop it. And don't tell it. Don't tell it. Well, that's what they do in here, damage control. We got to do something about it. And so that we'll stop this stuff they're saying, let's just beat them good and proper. You know, a good old whooping will make a lot of difference, won't it? We'll wear them out, beat them to a frazzle. Look what happened. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said, whether it be, who's that first fella? He's the same one that cannot stand up to the little damsel by the fire pot or the fire pit. Might have been a pot, might have been a pit, might have been a fire barrel. But it's a fire. And he can't stand up to her. But here, he's before the dignitary. Something happened. It's another test. You see it? God's going to give us another test. It's going to be an opportunity. You say, preacher, I failed. I failed miserably. Don't worry about that. We all have. God's going to give you another time, another test, another opportunity. And Peter and John said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God judge ye, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. You know what happened? When Peter went out and wept bitterly, Luke 22:63-64 said he remembered the word of God, and he remembered it, and he went out. You know what happened? The Holy Ghost has got him out. The Holy Ghost is dusting his britches. And so that ever happened to you on a regular basis? The Spirit of God will dust us good. And so what happened? Peter remembered how that felt when he failed God, and he didn't like it. And so and then what happens, you know, our kids, our three, and Mark, you know, he thinks he's got a broke foot, maybe he down at the river messing around, messed his foot up, Melody, she got the croup. And so I said, well, y'all stay here with the mully grubs, I'll see y'all directly. And so I'm kidding about that. But watch now. Get that off the tape. And so what happened? Talking about Peter, now see this. But I lost my thought completely. What y'all want to talk about? In this matter, Luke 22, Peter remembered, he remembered how that felt. There's nothing worse than a whipping of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 12 said it better than we can say it, and we're not going to read it as the way it reads, you know, for the children's sake, but I'm going to tell you some very strong language. And God said, if you belong to me, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a chastening rod, not some of the time. Listen, Jesus ain't a Walmart mama. How many of y'all ever been in the aisle with one of them Walmart mamas, and they'd say, one, I'm sorry if y'all do that, two, that kid ain't even looked around. A true story. I may have told you this before. If I have, forgive me. But we were at NASA. Wherever NASA is that Cocoa Beach? Wherever we're NASA. We was at NASA, and we were there in one of them long waiting lines, ready to go out. And so you know, people from all different languages are there. And I seen a kid run off. He went under that rail and went run way out yonder. And so I heard the lady say, and I didn't, it took me a little bit, Brother Larry, to catch on what she's doing. But she said, Uno. I said, Uno. Deuce. That's two. Uno. Trey. That's three. I learned a little bit. I don't know what she was speaking. Portuguese. I think I asked her what that was. She said, it's Portuguese. I said, what is that? Portuguese. But a little kid, he just like East American kids, he ain't look back either. He know mama wasn't going to do nothing. Uno, deuce, Trey, Walmart. One, two, three. Kid ain't even looked around. God's not like that. He ain't like that. No. No. He comes with the chastening rod. And he said, everyone belongs to me. Peter remembered that. Didn't like the way it felt. He's done been through that. Got the t-shirt. Didn't like it. And the next time God gave him opportunity to stand up for him, he said, I'm going to stand up. Stand up for Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. And if you need to beat us, beat us. I imagine one of their whoopings wouldn't have been like the whooping he got in the garden of Luke 22. And so at the Pilate's judgment hall, I want to show you a place. Look over to 1 Kings 22. You got time, we'll skip around. Many, 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 many tests we could talk about and how people passed them and how they failed them. You ever wonder what it looked like in your recordings? It don't matter. I'm glad of that. Ultimately, it don't matter. When we get there, we're not going to be looking back on these things. I don't believe. Right. We got another focus. Amen. You know, we don't go back. You know, you look back and you see things that are funny in your kid's life, but hardly ever do you drag out. You don't drag out photo albums where you were, you know, chastening your children. You don't do that. You reflect on the good times, don't you? And so here, it goes back to, remember what James said, we'll key in a little bit on what he said. He said, a double-minded man's unstable in how many of his ways? All of them. And we're going to see this right here in this picture, the last picture maybe we'll look at, if we get to 1 Kings 22. One of my favorite passages of the Word, I never get tired of saying anything about this story. This story has so many sermons in it, it's amazing. But if we take a little bit out of it and glean it, and if we can get something out of it, I believe God would say it to us. You know, before we read that, I do think about the test God gave Abraham. Remember his test? Take your son. God said this, your only son. Take him up on a 3-day trip in the mountains. And ain't no need in pitching your tent and all that kind of stuff. You know, but you're going to be doing that. But we got some other things we're doing. This ain't your regular camping out. And so he took him and he clave the wood for the fire, and Abraham has passed the test. He passed it. And so God already said back in chapter 19, remember what God said about Abraham? You said, well, God's trying to figure out if Abraham was real. That wasn't what he's doing. He knew Abraham was real. He knows all things. But he even said how real Abraham was. Remember in the matter concerning Sodom? He said, for I know him. How shall I hide from my servant Abraham? Preacher, I'd like to know things, intimate things that maybe God would say to me. Well, then let's have ears to hear.
Amen.
Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah.
And so if God gives us ears to hear, I'm not talking about these, I'm talking about the inner man. And we and let's get some of the things out of our life where we can hear. I don't have to have social media to know what my neighbor next door had for breakfast. I'm talking about things that tie up our time, right? And I don't have to know all the things that happen in a community. You know, the big stuff, I'm going to get that in the weekly paper. You see what I'm, you see where we're going. Listen, guys, it's the sports things. Listen, all them scores. If something really big happened, they're going to show it to you in the morning. We don't have to know everything, do we?
Right.
We don't have to be so tuned out to God and so tuned into the world that we miss the things that we sometimes would like the Lord to say.
Amen.
And so Abram, you know what God said? And I don't think Abram had to turn SportsCenter off to get this message. When God said, how shall I hide from my servant Abraham that thing that I'm about to do? For I know him. I like that right there, brother. God said, I know him, know everything about him. Yeah, God knew when he laughed, and God knew when he was victorious, and God knew when he failed, and God knew when he believed him, knew when he didn't. But I'm going to tell you, Abraham's already been through some tests, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Abraham had a real test in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Remember that test when God put his hand on his life, and he said, Abram, I'd like you to take you and your little wife and go over about 800 miles across the desert. Where are we going, Lord? Well, I'll tell you when you get there. Okay? And so Abraham went out to the clothesline, got his other pair of britches, and left, didn't he? You missed the clothesline? Anybody still put clothes on the line? Boy, don't you love them old clothesline towels? You could sand lumber with them things. Boy, they were tough, wasn't they? Yo, we'd bring them in the house, and we'd get them in the floor and kick them and wallow them, try to loosen them up a little bit. The clothesline. Abram went out to the, I seen the clothesline the other day. I was amazed. It took me a while to remember what it was. But the clothesline's a thing of the past. Abram went out to the clothesline and he got his duds, and him and Miss Sarah left and went across the desert. They believed God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so God said, I know him. How am I going to hide it from him, the thing I'm about to do? And then in the 22nd chapter, God told Abram, take that boy you prayed for, that boy you sought, that boy you've hoped in, that boy I promise, take him and take him up on Mount Moriah. God's about to show Abraham something about being willing. Listen, people say, preacher, I don't want to go through a lot of things. Well, it's not that you have to go through them. It's that you have to be willing to go through them. And so it's the willing heart. And it's even in our giving. God said, if we're not doing it willingly, just keep it. He said, God loves the cheerful giver. And so we see it's a willingness, a willing heart. And Jesus taught like that. And here in 1 Kings, there's a situation that's about to happen. And the king, Ahab, has got some concern in his heart of what he's heard. I'm going to shorten this up, and we're certainly not going to read it all. But here, there is a big deal going on in the land of Israel. And so there's been, you know, there's this thing that they're going to do concerning war. And the king wants to know, is this what we ought to do or not? And so if you look into chapter 22 at verse number 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside? Now, this tells you something about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a little concerned about these 400 preachers that he took a poll from, because all 400 of them said the same thing. And it's, have you ever heard something and it didn't just sit just right with you? Well, Jehoshaphat, it didn't sit just right with him. And he said, is there not anybody else we can ask? And Ahab said, there's one fella, but he hates me and he never says nothing good about me. And so, you know, I got a problem with him, but he's a real prophet. He said, there's one man, verse 8, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Now fast forward this. Watch this. Why hadn't Micaiah's name come up? People said, preacher, I want to pass God's test. I want to be God's person. I want power to be a witness wherever I am. Well, we all want that. I trust you do. If you're saved in the will of God, you do. You want that. You desire that. And here's how we get that. We don't get that by taking our finger, licking our finger and sticking it up to the wind. That's not how we get that, Brother Gary. No, we get that of being of a consistent heart, a ready heart, and a ready mind. David said something like this in the 108th Psalm. And everybody wonders why David did it. David did it. Why didn't God put David out in the pasture? David said in the 108th Psalm, the first verse, he said, oh God, my heart is fixed. He said, my heart's fixed. And he said, my mind's ready. Bless God, I'm settled on one thing. There's a lot wrong with David, but there's nothing wrong with God, and my heart's fixed on him. And so this whole matter of Bathsheba and Uriah, it was a black spot on David's life, but he said, God's still right, and I'll check out of here and graduate still praising him's what he said. My heart's fixed. Micaiah had a fixed heart. You're going to see it right here. Now, there's a fellow by the name of Zedekiah. I've got to take time to point him out. He's a funny little fellow. The 11th verse. He made him horns of iron and said to the king, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And so get this. He made, this is molten work. He made some horns. That's a lot of trouble for a false word, ain't it? If he'd have just said it, he said, well, it didn't cost him nothing. This cost him something. He had to purchase it, buy it, find it, hunt it, form it, make it. And so he made these horns. I'd like to see them sometime, what they look like. And he said, king, with these horns, you're going to push them out. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. The Lord told me to tell you that, king. You ever hear these smooth preachers?
Yeah,
you come by them on the TV? And it's always sowing and reaping. But you ever notice who's doing the sowing? It's you. And so you're doing the sowing and they're doing the reaping. They like sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
And he said, king, I'll put you on the blessing plan and give you these horns.
Yeah.
I sell them to most folks, but I'm going to give you a pair. Isn't that what he done, Brother Donnie?
Yeah.
take these horns are going to represent the Syrians, and you're going to push them until you've consumed them. And all the prophets said, go up to Ramoth and prosper. Way something about the prosperity message, but it's a different message than God's message. God's got a prosperity message, but it's true blue, brother. It always works. It involves things like this, reading the Word of God and praying, worshiping, thanking Him, singing His songs, lifting up His name, being true to His Word. That's God's prosperity plan, and it never fails. It always works. But their plan wasn't working too good. Go, King, and the Lord's going with you. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah. Now, this is the scene I really want you to take time to watch. Because all the things that happened in front of those 400 false prophets, we may not even have time to get into that, but we do have time to see this. And so imagine this messenger that comes to Micaiah down in the 13th verse. And he was there and he spake unto him. I'm promising you there's going to be times things like this are going to happen in your life. When somebody's going to put a bug in your ear. And they're going to say, if you want that job, you got to calm down a little bit. If you want this to go well with you, there's some things we can do to help you. This is what people are going to tell you. But you're going to have to settle down and lay off the Jesus stuff. Quit being so radical. Quit speaking your mind. Say what everybody else is saying. It's the old go along to get along. You ever heard that? Micaiah heard it. Micaiah heard it, and here's what he said. He said, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. And you know what he's really saying was, be sure you don't booger this up. You know, right now we've got 400 people in agreement. It's hard to get 400 people to agree on anything. But these lying prophets are in total agreement. You ever notice this? The devil's crowd, they don't fight and fuss like church folks, do they? They don't do it. They don't say, that was my pew and that was my songbook. They don't do that. The devil's crowd get along good. Boy, they'll drink till it's all gone and smoke till it's all out, and they just all pass out together and have a big time. And that's what they were saying. They said, hey, 400. When we get there, you could imagine them going down the car. Hey, if they was riding in a car, you know what this fella's done? He done put his arm on the chair and he slowed down. You ever rode with people that slowed down when they was talking? I hate when they do that, don't you? Why you got to slow down? Just talk. I listen with my ears. You know, I know one fella, he'll slow down when he's talking. I don't like to ride with him because he wants to slow down to me. And this fella's leaned over to Micaiah a little bit. He's leaned over. And he said, don't booger this up. There's 400 in agreement. See, you don't mess it up. Hey, Jehoshaphat's in town. That other king, he's in town. Don't mess this up. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. You know what's going on in Micaiah's heart? It's decision time. But you know, I don't think it really is so much the decision that we would like to think it is. I think the decision's already been made, don't you? Because of what Micaiah said. See, it's something about this. If our heart's not made up, if our heart's not like David and fixed, you say, oh, David, preacher, we got to go back into all. No, we're talking about the daily test. The daily test. He said, let it be that which is good. And Micaiah said, I don't even think there was a long pause before he answered. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. We know the story. Micaiah come in and they said all of these things happened and said, Micaiah, what do you say about it? Remember, this is for Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's the one that's a little concerned everybody's agreeing about this thing. And he said, ain't there one preacher somewhere we can find that'll speak and maybe we'll hear another opinion? And so Micaiah, they done put the bug in his ear. And so they done tried to calm Micaiah down and keep him from this holy roller stuff. And so here Micaiah is. And he said, let me go ahead and tell you, sir, before we get there, what God tells me is what I'm going to say. See, he wasn't studying. If you got to study on which way you're going to go, you're not where you want to be. If you're studying, now listen, don't get me wrong. I understand there's things catch us by surprise. But it comes up, it comes back to the ready mind.
Yeah.
It comes back to the made up heart.
Amen.
I don't think Micaiah's decision was made in his little old brain, do you?
No.
His decision was in his heart. That whatever God said he was going to say, this wasn't his first rodeo. Micaiah has been in these kind of spots before.
Yeah.
And so when they asked him, and they asked him, of course, if we read all of this, you'd see he told him, said, go and prosper. But that kind of scared the king when he said that. And he said, wait a minute, you up to something, Micaiah? Hey, you said go prosper. He said, that don't sound like you before I've heard you preach. And they said, what you saying? He said, let me tell you what God showed me. He said, I saw Israel like little sheep scattered on the hillside, and they didn't have a shepherd. You know what that meant? King, you was missing. And he said, what you saying? And he said, I'm telling you this. How many a time shall I adjure thee? And he said, I saw them. They didn't have a shepherd. These had no master. And the king of Israel, verse 18, said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Fast forward for the sake of time. You know what happened? Ahab didn't listen to the word Micaiah gave him.
That's right.
He went. And he did not prosper. It don't matter what the 400 said. The 400 said, go and you'll come back. Ahab still dead. Ahab still lost his life. He heard what the man of God said. He said, I'm not buying this thing. You give me a little riddle and I ain't buying into that. He didn't like Micaiah. He put him in the prison. Put him in the hoose cow. He said, you keep him here till I get back. And if you take time, read the story. Micaiah told him, said, if you come back, God didn't send me. Listen, he wasn't backing Micaiah down. There's something about this. Peter said, what y'all going to do with the word of God, I do not know. But this one thing I know. What God done, he done. And you can beat us, whoop us, kill us. It don't matter. God did what he did. And so he said, King, I'm not worried about that. You can put me in jail. He said, listen, if you come back, God did not send me. Go ahead and put that in your little pipe and smoke it. It didn't happen. And you know what happened? Shorten it up, and I'm going to get out of here, but watch this. They come got Micaiah one day, said, you free to go. What about the king? He didn't make it. See, there's going to be people in your life, it ain't going to be comfortable, but there's going to be people in your life waiting on you to tell them the truth.
That's right.
Love them enough to tell them the truth.
Amen.
You said, preacher, I failed tests before. We all have. We all have. As we stand together, we've been sitting a while. We've all failed tests. We've all failed trials. But James said, the trying of your faith worketh patience.
That's right.
That test God's bringing you through, it's just one test along the way. Don't get so focused on that. Be ready to go forward of that that God will do next time. If Peter would have got so disheartened because he failed at Pilate's judgment hall, then what would he have done? He never would have been the Peter that God made him in the early chapters of the book of Acts. But you know what he done? He took the reproving of the Holy Ghost and he grew from it.
That's right, brother.
He grew in grace. That's why God gave him two books. That's why God gave him all of these wonderful testimonies. That's why God wants to use us today. You know what happened? You look back and you say, I failed over there, but thank God my heart was fixed and my mind's made up and I'm ready now. I'm growing now. I'm going now. God's going to use me now. And you know what happened? A great victory. You said, well, the only bad things happened in Micaiah's life. No, it didn't. Jehoshaphat's life was spared. Jehoshaphat's life was spared. You know why? Because of one true witness. And we don't have to be a monopoly, do we? We don't have to be the multitude. We just need one true witness. God give us that. Got a song, brother.